Foreign Affairs is taking the centre of the stage in the election debate. As we've just been hearing in the news, the Conservatives are reacting furiously to what Ed Miliband's going to say in a speech on foreign affairs, and he doesn't often speak on foreign affairs, today at the Foreign Affairs think tank Chatham House, because he is saying that the crisis in the Mediterranean is caused in part by Britain's policy to Libya after the fall of Gaddafi. Well, we're joined by the Labour Foreign Affairs spokesman Douglas Alexander in Glasgow. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
The Conservatives say that you're blaming David Cameron personally for the deaths in the Mediterranean, and they say, number 10 says, it is shameful. What's your response to that?
Well, I have the advantage of actually having read the speech, and this manufactured row is, I think, generated to obscure the facts, although I have to admit I'm struggling to reconcile the headline we just heard on the 7:30 news with the speech that's sitting in front of me. Let me tell you what the speech actually says. The speech rightly highlights the loss of British influence that David Cameron has overseen, and also highlights the very widely accepted failures on Libya, where the international community rightly, I believe, took action to prevent Benghazi being turned into a slaughterhouse, but then has abjectly failed to engage in effective post-conflict planning. And I think that's widely understood and widely recognised.
What would you have done? Would you have had a more direct British intervention? Would you do what the Libyan ambassador to the UN told us this week that he wanted, namely to supply them with arms?
Well, I do think David Cameron waded in and then walked away. What we've seen since 2011 is five different Libyan governments. I think there was an opportunity with the establishment of the National Transitional Council for the international community to get around the National Transitional Council and provide better support. We're now in a situation where we've got two rival governments, one in Tripoli, one in Tobruk. And in the first democratic elections, remember, back in July of 2012, the Islamists only actually won 19 out of 80 seats, so this was not inevitable. I think the fundamental conceptual error by David Cameron and the British government was believing the political culture in Libya was akin to the political culture in Tunisia, one of the few bright stars after in a dark sky after the Arab Spring, where we've seen a political culture develop. In truth, there was a belief that you could retain the apparatus of the state once Gaddafi had gone and move the country forward. What we saw with Gaddafi's departure was the disintegration of the entire apparatus of the state and a failure then to build around the National Transitional Council an alternative system of governance, and into that vacuum moved the militias that are governing the country today.
Just to come back to the question, if you were Foreign Secretary 2 or 3 weeks from now, would you do what the Libyan ambassador to the UN says he wants and sell them arms?
No, I don't believe that it is right to lift the existing arms embargo. Instead, I would be working with the UN envoy, who is still undertaking talks in Morocco. Only on March the 24th, the UN support mission identified a six-point plan to try and establish an inclusive government in Libya. That seems to me, in what are admittedly extraordinarily difficult circumstances now, the right way to try and move forward. I think there's a case, for example, looking at freezing the assets of those groups operating within Libya at the moment. There have been suggestions also from the United Nations of the establishment of an escrow account for Libyan oil. So there are plenty of steps open to the international community. But alas, we've seen an international community that's walked away rather than stayed engaged in this particular situation.
Ed Miliband is saying today, and I quote him, David Cameron has presided over the biggest loss of influence for our country in a generation. It's happened because the government he led has stepped away from the world rather than confidently towards it. You're saying that British influence has been diminished. Isn't that a bit rich coming from a leader of the opposition who has said less in his time as leader of the opposition about foreign affairs than almost any predecessor in that position in living memory?
I don't think it's a bit rich. I think it's pretty accurate. I mean, the truth is the Euroscepticism that now is at the heart of the Conservatives' approach to foreign policy has not just weakened our influence in Brussels. We're in a position where David Cameron, on the vote about Jean-Claude Juncker, took a Europe divided on Juncker and united it against Cameron, but also critically weakened our influence in Washington. Because one of the fantasies of Euroscepticism is that somehow Britain will be more relevant in the rest of the world if we are irrelevant in Europe.
But Ed
Miliband's been clear and consistent in arguing that certainly we need reform and change within Europe, but that Britain's future lies within Europe. Alas, I wish we'd had that kind of leadership from the leader of the Conservative Party over the last few years.
Look, I just want at the end to come back to Libya. I just want somewhat, it is remarkable how little Ed Miliband has spoken about foreign affairs, how little time he has devoted to that. That, to anybody looking at this country from outside, is a signal that he doesn't take it as seriously as you're claiming at the moment he does.
Well, I don't recognise that description. He's about to give a speech in Chatham House, probably the most esteemed foreign policy think tank in Britain, and I think he's going to set out a compelling case as to how interdependence rather than isolation is the way forward, how it's critical that we learn the lessons of past failures of British foreign policy on all sides, but equally that we need to be engaged directly with the world. Alas, we've seen from David Cameron a very different approach. He spent more time negotiating with his backbenchers than with other European leaders.
Just finally, let's settle this once and for all. As I understand it, what he is saying today is that the tragic scenes this week, i.e. the scenes of people dying in the Mediterranean, are in part a direct result of the failure of post-conflict planning for Libya. That is what he's saying, correct?
It is a failure of post-conflict planning for which the international community bears responsibility. I don't think anybody disputes that we're witnessing a situation where Libya is perilously close to being a completely failed state on the southern shores of the Mediterranean. That's not a matter of dispute, Jim. That's simply a matter of fact.